Hello and welcome to Hockey Development Talk. Today I'm here and I'm going to have a chat to the young rising star from the England Hockey Awards. So do you want to go straight into it and introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Jeevan Chagger and I'm chairman of Yardley Hockey Club, recently joint winner of the Rising Star Award at the England Hockey Awards.
Yeah, indeed you were, indeed, which is brilliant. And I think that's where we'll start. So do you just want to go through what the award was, obviously with the Rising Star nomination? I assume that you've now read your nomination that was put through. Do you want to have a quick chat around some of that?
That's right, yeah. So reading through my nomination, there were several aspects that were covered, really. At the age of 21, I took on chairmanship at Yardley Hockey Club, where we've been going through a big transition at the minute. So that was a big role to fill and to take on, especially at such a young age. And from there, it was also relating to a lot of the work I've done outside of my club within the community. So in my day job, I work in primary schools and I also work in an ASD primary secondary school in Birmingham. And part of my work there is to deliver a programme for health and wellbeing. But being a keen hockey enthusiast, I do deliver sessions based around hockey.
Yep.
So part of my nomination did recognise when I joined one of my schools last year in September, in 2017 in September, I taught a group of 10 children to play hockey for the first time and they'd never picked up a stick. And over 12 weeks, one session a week, about 45 minutes long, started to coach them and get them to understand the rules of hockey, of how to play and just really enjoy it, because there's always an enjoyment, especially with children, to try a new sport, especially if they've never tried it before. And they get a buzz, they get energy of they're able to do something they weren't able to do before.
Yeah.
And that was quite a nice feeling. So just on the off chance, at the school we decided it's the first time we've taken up this sport. Why not enter the local school games competition? Just have fun. The children can go and enjoy themselves and they can enjoy the experience. So that is what we did. And 10 weeks later, we were at the regional heats in our area and we took part in the competition. And our sole aim and my sole focus for them was you've got one objective and that is three words and that is fun. Three letters, sorry, fun. Have fun. Because at the end of the day, you want children to be competitive, but you don't want to expose them too much to competitive nature at an early age. And you want them to learn that it's okay to win, it's okay to lose, it's okay to draw. And you want them to experience everything as a whole. You don't want to give everything to them on a plate. So it was really a testament to them because they played really well and they were able to win the regional heats, which was a massive achievement for us. Because as a small school, a one-form entry school, we've not won much in terms of sporting prowess and such. That was the first time we'd won something in 5-6 years as a school. So that was a massive achievement for us. And then we went to the school games finals for Coventry, South Warwickshire and Solihull.
Yeah.
And again, my sole aim for them was go out there and have fun. This is an experience that you've never had before. And we were quite lucky enough that Paul Smith was there with the Vitality Women's World Cup at the time as well. So for them, that was a massive thing because they got to see the World Cup before it was presented at the World Cup, which was hosted here on home soil. And as a mentor and as a coach, I want the children I work with to experience everything. So I set them a target that day, which they didn't achieve actually. And some people might think, well, that's a silly target to give, but my target for them was to experience losing a game.
Okay.
And I said that to them, and they did look puzzled to start with. I mean, but we've won so far. Why do you want to lose a game and go? Because part of sport is you don't win everything, but you've got to learn to lose. But when you lose, you learn more because you get to understand each other. You get to understand yourself better. And then that's where you can develop your thinking, which is critical analysis and what reflections and whatnot, which you can use in school as well. Unfortunately, they didn't live up to my expectations and they didn't lose a game, but they were joint winners for the county last year, and that was a phenomenal achievement. So that was part of that was recognized in my nomination. The other part was working in an ASD school. It's very difficult to understand the children that have a diverse range of needs. So all children are diagnosed with ASD, which is autism spectrum disorder, and they're on the spectrum in some way there. So for them, it's just about pick up a stick, enjoy it. Don't mind if you use the back of the stick. Just go out there, enjoy it, get a feel for it. And if you like it, great. If it's not for you, that's okay. Just have a go. And so at Sports Week last year, we hosted a day of hockey. We called it Hockey Day. And we put a request into England Hockey, who were kind enough to send us Mark Gleghorn, who came over to help us. And the children were absolutely in awe of seeing someone who's got caps for England and GB, learning about this, the story there, and the World Cup, the medals, the Commonwealth Games medals he's got, and how he was hoping to make it to the World Cup in India, which was in December just gone. And that just started a trend, let's say, of sports. Children wanted to play sports. They were requesting clubs, and unfortunately I was only there 2 days a week, so there's only so much I can do in 2 days of a school week. But it set about lots of interest in sport. We had a few people go out and try hockey outside of school, which was great to see. And it just made me realise, actually, as a sport in the country, we do a lot for the majority. But seeing people with additional needs, yes, there are some avenues out there, but we don't do enough of it, I don't think. Or personally, I don't feel we do enough to support them or get them interested. So for me, it was about encouraging them more. So I did 6 weeks of hockey taster sessions there with them, getting children to experience it, enjoy it. As I say, some took up sports with other hockey clubs and such, and some came to mind for a few tasters and trials to see how it goes. And that was also part of my nomination, that was recognising what I've been doing. And yeah, aside from that, me personally, I've been playing for 10, 11 years now. I picked up a stick in 2008. And joined my club, Yardley, as it was then. And I came through the ranks in terms of going through the under-10s, 12s, set up, Badger set up, and then straight into the first team, thrown in at the deep end. But for me, part of the nomination recognises my work I've been doing in my club on the committee, but also outside. So last year, I also joined the Midlands Young Umpires Association. So as a young umpire, I want to encourage more in my club to take up umpiring and understand the game better, but I want to develop myself further. So I've had a few injuries over the last year, year and a half, and a few issues with health, which have meant I can't play as regularly as I want to. So for me, taking up those avenues has allowed me to give back to hockey a lot more, because I've had the opportunity and others haven't. So from a nutshell and expanding on it, that was the nomination that was put forward for me.
Wow, Jeevan, wow. There's so much in there. I was just making a few notes as you was mentioning. So just to summarise, 21-year-old, chairman of your local hockey team, Yardley.
That's right.
Yeah. We've delivered, or you're working in schools with autism?
Yeah, so I work in a mainstream school, and I work with children with additional needs and autism at another school.
Brilliant. So we have that. Alongside there, you're obviously engaging them, trying to get them to do additional sport. So further enrichment. So you're doing that. You're building up 6 weeks worth of hockey sessions. You've delivered a sports week. You've got new children to the sport to go into a local competition. And they've won that. They've gone into the county competitions, joint winners of that. And then you've delivered with Mark Gleghorn as well. Yeah, loads. Obviously trying to play, doing a bit of coaching. And then I think I don't know whether I was told this, but I don't, or whether I've read this somewhere. Aren't you in discussion with somewhere around 1,000, with somebody around getting 1,000 or 1,500 or something like that, new children into the sport? Or
yeah. So through work, part of my passion is to give children who maybe are less fortunate or have other circumstances to experience the sport free of charge, because that's the only way that you can entice people to give it a go. So I'm in talks with people that I know within Birmingham City Council and some local services to offer free taster sessions to children and young people and families, really, because it is a family sport, into trying out hockey taster sessions, maybe integrate them better socially or improve their social skills, allow them to experience something new. And whilst there's up to 1,500 people, young people, that could be targeted with the organisation, it will be done in phases. So phase one will be, we're working at the Birmingham Inclusive Fest later this year as a club with Sport Birmingham, England Hockey and Hockey Flyers to offer those sessions, allow them to experience hockey on the day. It's an event that's free of charge. They'll come in and out of sessions. And then from there, part of my passion and dream and vision is we offer an outlet to them to say, here are all of your local clubs. It's not just about our club, because as selfish as you want to be, sometimes it's not feasible for someone to travel 10, 15 miles to our club where they've got one on their doorstep.
Yeah.
So part of my work there with my team at the club will be, we promote hockey as a whole, but we promote our club as much as others to entice them to come and try out, have a go. And even if it means one child or one parent picks up a stick and gets into hockey or gets back into hockey, for me that'll be a success, because it will start to branch out. And we say that we want to increase the participation. And at the England Hockey Awards, I think said Sally Munday, when she took on the role as CEO 10 years ago, it was 100,000, and we're now 140,000. Well, we all have a role to play in that, and if I can make that 141,000,
yeah,
I'm doing my job.
Yeah, you are indeed massively doing your job. If we can add another 1,000 people playing the sport, it'd be immense. Look, just huge well done. You know, just listening to that there, just I can completely understand why you were nominated. I think it's great that people have nominated you. I think it's brilliant that you managed to win the award. I think that's outstanding. Just keep it going. That is some serious work that you're doing there. And obviously, try to make sure that you say you're studying for a master's at the moment as well.
Yeah. So yeah. I decided after college I wasn't going to go to university. I didn't feel it was right for me.
Okay.
So I went into the world of work to work in schools as a health mentor to deliver a program on health and well-being. And from there, it was right. Okay. I've done the first training course. I've done my level one. I've done my level two. What's next? So I was constantly on the phone to my directors, my managers, saying, I need more training. I want more training. What's next? Can I get on this? Can I get on this? Can I get on this?
Yeah.
Because I'm someone that's keen to learn constantly. So I did our level four course, because we've got a partnership with Newman University. Having done the level four course, I decided, right, I've done the level four course, which is the equivalent of 60 credits, which is half a first year.
Yeah.
But I need to get a qualification. And part of the reason is my sister's off at university at Loughborough. She's doing literature. And I know that she wants to do a master's. So she's coming to the end of her third year now, and she'll start a master's next year. Okay. So part of the drive for me was, well, if she's going to get a master's, I need to get one before her. Not that there's any competition between us, but it's healthy competition. We spur each other on a lot, and she plays hockey as well. So we've always been competitive with each other. But for me, it was, I need to take up something which will make me learn and make me who I am and make me better at what I do. So I'm currently doing a master's, which is in work-based learning, specifically around my role as a health mentor.
Okay.
So I have the beauty of reflecting on whether I'm doing classroom coaching, mentoring, delivery of PE lessons or clubs in my role, or it could be lunchtime animation, training staff, supporting others at camps and such. There's a wide range I do in my role, and you can't really define it. But the biggest thing for me is I can look back at incidents, situations, key moments, reflect on it, but I'm also getting the standard of writing from what I want personally. So for me personally, I want to be better at writing things and events and recounting events to help me learn. So by doing that, it's going to help me. So I'm currently halfway through my two-year course at the moment, which I'm doing part-time. So a lot of the season has been, right, I'm at university on a Saturday morning. I now need to ask and request kindly to leave early an hour from my session so I can go back and make my hockey match. And then on occasions it's, right, from my hockey match, I'm going off to umpire somewhere else because they need an umpire here, and I've offered to go and do that there. So, yeah, and then Sundays is trying to assist with coaching where possible, but sometimes I have to be selfish and say, actually, I can't do training. I need to give some time to my essay. So,
yeah.
Luckily, I'm only 1,500 words away from my first year, but right. I'm doing that at the same time.
Wow. Okay, well, good luck. Good luck. Don't overstretch yourself with everything that you're doing. I think it's brilliant. So let's just talk about school hockey first before we go into club. You've obviously set up sessions within, you know, your two different schools that you were talking about there. What, obviously, a success being you've taken a, a group of children that's developed over a period of time, and then a major success would be that they've won a competition, a tournament, a festival, however you want to look at it. What do you think, what was the biggest challenge that you had to overcome to get that up and running?
I think the biggest challenge, particularly in primary school, is just saying the word hockey to sometimes in schools to staff is like, whoa, hold on. This is not a sport we do at primary school. It's almost because the curriculum has become so streamlined, as there's certain things that are being, how can I put this in a nice way? More focus has been given on to more of the academic side in terms of maths and English. More focus has been given to them because schools nowadays are grade factories and exam factories. They need to churn out results in order to stay high on the league table, otherwise they're frowned upon. But for me, it's about experience. If a child doesn't experience something, they're missing something. So no matter how well they're doing in academia, if they don't experience something new, they're never going to find themselves.
Yeah.
And so part of my challenge was to convince, actually, it's something we should do. I was quite fortunate enough, actually, that my head teacher was a former hockey player, so she used to play. And I walked into the school on first day and they said, right, you're going to be delivering clubs, six clubs across 3 days. What clubs would you like to deliver? And my first one was, have you got any hockey sticks? I want to deliver hockey. Initial reaction was, we've got plastic hockey sticks, but we've also got a set of wooden hockey sticks. Now, a set of wooden hockey sticks and actual hockey balls in a primary school is very rare. And I've worked in a number of primary schools to know that that's like gold dust.
Yeah.
So if you know a school's got that, take it up straight away. And then it was just a matter of convincing parents, actually, it will be safe. It will be controlled. Okay, on occasions, you might get the few knocks on the ankles or the shins or your fingers, but it will be a safe environment and it's something that's worth a try. So we have a policy in terms of ratios, it's 20 children maximum. I had a group set up for a Tuesday afternoon. I had 40 subscribed to coming to hockey.
Wow.
And that was an issue because I can only take 20, we've got 40 that are keen. So I had to deliver two different sessions, so one half term and another half term, so it was equal. And from there, it was just understanding that every child, I've known for a long time, every child is different in terms of their progression levels and their interest levels, their attention spans, how quickly they can pick up things or they adjust to new settings. So from there, it was about, right, here's a ball, here's a stick, have a go. And sometimes I've watched sessions where, no, it has to be done this way, this way, this way. For me, it's about experience and go and do it. So the biggest challenge was hoping no one got injured and no one did, which was always a bonus. But here's a stick, here's a ball, go and play. Go and show me what you can do or what you think you do.
Yeah.
And part of the challenge was to break down some of the misconceptions of the sport. And initially, children thought that you had to use it the reverse way in terms of you hold onto the hook side and into like a snooker club. And yeah. You have these common things, but it was about actually now I've got an understanding of where your understanding is at. Let's work on this together. So that was the biggest challenge for me. And then after that, convincing them to take up hockey outside of school wasn't really that hard. A few tried local hockey clubs near them, near the school. Unfortunately, for whatever reason, it didn't work out there. Parents came back to me and said, actually, we know that you run a hockey club. Could we come over to you? So they're now willing to travel an extra 5 miles to come to us.
Okay.
Because they're familiar with me and they're now familiar with the culture of the club and the staff at the club that we have.
Yep.
And yeah, I've got about 15 of those that took it on. We've now retained six of those that kept it on. And three of them are keen now next year to try going to a development centre. Parents have looked online, researched a lot and said, oh, we like the look of this development centre. What is it? Do you recommend it? Do you think this will give us an opportunity? I go, you're more than welcome to. Development centres open for everyone.
Yeah.
Give it a go. And if they feel that, yes, you can make the next step, then that's what will happen. And there's a process. They will follow a process. But we will encourage you to take it up as much or as little as you like. We don't want to force you to do things that you don't want to do. So that's been a plus side of teaching hockey, getting them interested, because actually now it's easier. And every year now, this year I started, the success of the team last year, it's great because first year we won it all. This year now, the second group with an expectation to live up to, and they're almost anxious because their competition's in 2 weeks' time. And they're like, but what if we don't? I was like, no, Our focus is we have fun. If you have fun and you enjoy it, that is the main thing. No one can take that experience away from you, no matter if it's successful or not in your eyes. For me, it's successful if you have fun and you're smiling, even at the end of the game.
Excellent. That's strong. It's a strong message that you've created there, really, just with a lot of things that you've mentioned. You know, the club school link, so the club linking up with the school. You've tried to put them in touch with a local club, as you said, whatever the reason was, it didn't quite work out, but now some have come over to your club, which is an extra 5 miles. It's great that that's happening. We're keeping them in the sport. That transition between school to club is really key, and I think how you've tried to create that is really good. You know, it's a strong message to create, and obviously the message that you're also giving them around, you know, the development rather than just about the winning is awesome. You know, everyone will want to win. I love winning just as much as anyone else, I'm sure. But also from a child's perspective, we need to actually, they need to benefit all elements of the sport to be able to develop them. So I think that's a really strong message that you're creating there. And I think it's great that your school have allowed you to sort of develop these links, which is great.
Yeah.
Club. Let's talk about club. You were 21 when you took over as a chairman of your club. What on earth made you want to do that? Where did that even start?
Where could I start? Well, when I first took on the role, I remember still to this day, it was just over a year ago now, one of my first commiserations. And I think that pretty much sums up the situation we're in. So in the past, 25 years ago, we were known as Birmingham Municipal. We changed our name to Yardley Hockey Club. That was a decision made then, well before my time. And
did you say 25 years ago, did you say?
Yeah, so 25 years ago, we were known as the Birmingham Municipal Hockey.
Okay. That's definitely well before your time. You weren't even born, were you?
No, not even born. I was -4 then. But we had a change of name into Yardley Hockey Club as it is now. And I can speak from 10 years ago, certainly. We had 3 men's teams. We were competing in a fairly strong league. We had a big youth setup. We had 25 children in the youth setup. We had a team for boys, a team for girls, for under 12s, under 10s, under 8s. There was a big club link in terms of schools and networking because our youth coach then, who sadly passed away a number of years ago, was retired, used to go into schools and coach. So that was our avenue of attracting players and young people into the sport. At that time as well, schools had a lot of funding. So I was part of my school, and in my first PE session, the PE teacher said, here's a hockey stick, here's a ball, run around with the ball. And there's me doing an Indian dribble because my dad taught it to me. And the first thing the PE teacher said, have you played it before? I go, I haven't played it before, but my dad teaches me. I was sent a letter to say, go and join this hockey club, which is literally on my doorstep. It couldn't be closer. Right. I can see the picture from my house. And from there, the school, like, we will send you to go there. We will pay for you to play. And I had a scholarship, sponsorship, whatever you want to call it, for a good part of 7 years.
Right.
So from the moment I joined year 7 to the moment I left college, I had a sponsorship where they paid my fees for me. And that's also reflective of the school situation and funding situation at the time. Over the last half a decade, say, we've lost teams. We had an affiliated ladies' side who unfortunately folded for their own reasons. And for the last 3 seasons, as I can remember, we've not been able to field a second team. So essentially, we are now a club with a first team, a Badgers, and a very small youth setup, which is reliant on myself and the head coach who work in schools, bringing in players. But we can't go to more schools because we're working in education, so we can't get time to go elsewhere. Okay. So that's the situation we're at the minute. So we have about, I would say, no more than 30 active members in the club, 25 of which are playing members.
Yeah.
So, very, very tough times. And
yeah,
considering we were in an area where the background is predominantly Asian, from Indian and Pakistan origin, where in 2012 it was a national sport of India and it still remains a national sport of Pakistan, mm-hmm. it's difficult to try and get to the community to say, take this on board. If it's football, it's fine. They will happily send their child to football. They'll happily pay as much as it costs to go to football. I think it's because of the exposure of football, a lot more people are interested and attracted to it, sort of thing. So for us as a hockey team, competing with football is very difficult. We've lost a number of young people to that. And then we're in an area where it is considered as a disadvantaged area within the UK, in the top 1% sort of thing. So a lot of children try to go, and young people try to go out of Birmingham for university to pursue their passions and their dreams. So we lose a lot to university and to college. So if you were to look at our membership structure, you'd say fairly reasonably sized membership at under 16 age gets to 18 to 25 or 26, and it's very narrow. In fact, I can count, what, 7 or 8 first-teamers in that age bracket, and that is it. Okay. But apart from that, there's no one else. And then for the older generation of the 30-plus, there is a slightly larger increase there, but again, it's very small. It's difficult because before the Open League structure, our first team were bottom of the bottom in the first team league. You could say we were the whipping boys of the league because 2-3 seasons on the trot, goal difference in minus three-digit figures sort of thing. It wasn't a reflection on us, but it was a reflection of the league structure changed so much then that we were promoted 2 divisions just because teams had dropped out and smaller clubs had dropped out.
Oh, okay.
So we were playing actually less competitive than where we're at, whereas this season just gone, finished in the strong 7th position, and it was very close in the mid-table. We were about 5 points off 4th place, but we were a good 20 off the bottom.
Right, good.
So it was a lot more competitive for us, and I think we found our level almost. But me being a person that looks forward, it's difficult because we're at the middle now. How long or how much will it take for us to get higher than the middle into the top 4? Mm-hmm. But how quick is it going to be that we continue losing players to a season where we actually become bottom and teams from below that are stronger come up, teams from above that are stronger come down, mm-hmm. and then we go down?
Yeah, of course. So what's the plan? What, looking at it now, obviously you've mentioned it there, you know, the actual first team as a whole, they kind of found a stabilized place. Development side, where what development? I'm assuming they still play every week. And what's that? 7 or 8 youngsters with 3-4 adults. Is that how that works in your area?
Yeah. So with us, we've got, I'd say, a core 9 first team. Mm-hmm. But again, some of those depend on work availability, shift patterns, and all sorts. So that's a consistent. So I'd say, yeah, there's 2 or 3 that are over the age of 30. Right. The rest are from the ages of 16 to 29, 30, okay. Age bracket. And it's difficult to maintain because we know we're going to lose some of the younger ones. How long can we keep the others motivated, and how long is it before the older players who've been in the sport for a long time actually say, we've got to give it up now. It's not feasible for us to continue, whether it's health reasons or personal choices. So that's a difficulty in terms of how long can we maintain. What's our plan? Well, 2018, I had a conversation with Paul Smith in 2018. We sat down, and I'd just taken on chairmanship role. I said, look, we need some help. How can we stabilise our club, and how can we make sure that in three years' time from 2018, we're still around? No matter how big, no matter how small, I just want to be around in 3 years' time. So we sat down and he spoke to us and he said, right, well, get an idea of what's in your club at the minute, what you have got, compare it to 3 seasons ago, what you did have, and over the next, for the next 3 years, what would you like to have? So that was our initial conversation. We took that back to management and we had a few working parties get involved in terms of getting together ideas, but being such a small club, it was 3 or 4 members, the same individuals in the management that take on a lot, who were doing almost everything. So we were slowed down with lots of work trying to get us to where we want to be. And our development plan essentially is we want our youth setup to have a professional feel to it, so young people feel welcome. We target them from a younger age, and we get the parents on board, then we're onto something, because at the end of the day, parents are the ones that are going to be paying for their young people to be going into the sport. They want to see value for money. And if we're not addressing those issues, and if we're not ensuring that we are a professional look club, we respect each other, and we make sure that we present ourselves well and we have a plan that they can see and they buy into our philosophy, then we're going to miss a trick there, and we're going to fold quicker than 3 years, we'll fold in 6 months. So we've now changed our structure in terms of naming, instead of youth coach, it's now head coach. So our head coach now oversees all the training for the youngsters, but also the first team training. We've ensured that all our DBSs are up to date, and we have relevant people now who are currently in the management committee that are taking on those roles. So before I was chairman, unfortunately, we had a chairman who was quite ill and was unable to continue, so had to step down, and because of ill health, no longer able to continue in the role. So that's why I took it on. I'm young, I've got a lot of energy. I'm very well at managing tasks and projects, in a sense of I'm good at delegating, but I'm good at getting feedback, giving feedback, responding, and being that central point. So it was explained to me at the England Hockey Team, and a number of people said it, you're a front person, you're a front man, because people will work behind the scenes, they will get the work done, they'll respond to you, you will relay the message, and then together you will bring about what you want to bring about collectively as a whole. And I never take credit for I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. For me, it's as much as we've done this together, we've done this, we are going to keep doing this, because at the end of the day, I wouldn't have been chairman if I wasn't elected by the majority. And so it needs to be reflective of that. I can't say I'm doing this, I've done this, I'm doing this, this is my club. No, it's our club. We're doing this together. So our development plan focuses on professionalism within the youth academy and as a club. We've this year invested in hoodies for the first time in a long while, slightly off our normal club colours, which are red, and our club logo is also blue. It's quartered. But we've gone for black and red just because it stands out. It's a bit more bold. It's a bit more out there. And people will be able to recognise us a bit more. Our badge is huge on our hoodies. And that, again, is just we stand out. It wasn't intended to be that big, but when it came back from suppliers, it came out large. And we said, actually, it's a good thing. People see that first and they'll remember it. And they want to have a positive memory. In terms of development further, trying to encourage more young people onto our management committee. So we've encouraged... for the next season, we've got two young people on our management committee that weren't on our management committee before, but we have lost a further three, so there's still three vacancies. So some of our older generation that have been in the club a long time, that have taken on roles for a long time, have started to see the transition, but they feel, for whatever reason, it's the right time for them to step down.
Okay.
I respect their decision to do that, but if I was looking at it from an outsider's point of view, well, actually now... where there was five of us doing things together, there's now four or three of us that will be doing everything, because we don't have that older generation that's been through the club a lot longer to remind us of you need to do this, you need to do this. But they will still be on the end of the phone call for us if we need it. So in terms of management, big structural change there in terms of we need to now make sure we can entice more people into the club this season in order to make sure that specific individuals aren't overloaded with everything. Because that has happened for a long time. Apart from the playing side, as a club, we're looking to host more social events and more ways to introduce hockey. So our social events, my vice chair set up a beer and Skittles night 2 years ago. Very successful. We did it last year as well. We saw more members. So hopefully the idea will be, actually, we had more members last year in... the new season to come, we'll get even more members. And that's just a social. We don't raise any money for that.
Okay.
We don't raise any money for the club. It's just we get together, enjoy each other's company, have a laugh, encourage more members to turn out, and just have a good time, because that's what it's about. Hockey's losing its social side, so we want to be that family-friendly social club. So there's that in terms of...
Sounds great. Sounds really good. And, you know, I think something like that is just shows you just a few tweaks that you've made there. I generally think that if you carry on to do the things that you're doing, you'll see a rise in participation. You'll get people that want to come to you. Hopefully this helps as well. So people hopefully be able to get in touch with you via social media, etc. And, you know, other clubs to be able to maybe give you some hints and tips and share ideas with each other. Because ultimately we're a huge hockey family, and I think sharing with each other. But I really liked what you said there about it wasn't about you doing it. It was about, you know, a team of people. So, you know, I have a little thing with in my own family as well. So with me, it's teamwork makes the dream work. We always try to do things together, and it's been one of the things that I've always wanted to sort of progress with. And I really like how you've sort of brought that sort of into your own club, and the fact that it's not about me, it's not about you, it's not about that, it's about us, you know, your own hockey club there. I think that's really, really positive, really positive. Look, we've been, would you believe it, we've been talking for about 35 minutes there. I think that's, I know, it's great. And that's why I said I thought it'd be really interesting to sort of chat to you, because what you've talked around there is amazing. You know, you've done such good work, Jim, and, you know, I really praise you. I hope that you continue to work with Paul as your relationship manager for hockey.
Definitely.
You know, I'm sure that you'll come up with ways and means of attracting new people to come. Keep being creative with the things that you're doing at school. I really like that. I just thank you for helping raising the profile of the sport, helping to continue to develop it. It's an absolute pleasure seeing someone so young, so vibrant, doing that type of work. It's amazing. So well done.
Thank you.
No worries at all. It's been great chatting. So thanks.
Thank you very much for inviting me to talk as well.